I came across it because Amy Souza shared it, and I was like, I saw the picture actually, and I was like, it's a really interesting piece of artwork. But I want to know about you. So, how did you get involved with this project? How did it all start up, and what? How did things come to be?
I think with most of these kind of charity projects where it's helping people, really it all starts with compassion and kindness and just curiosity, really, to find out why is somebody unable to, on the streets for whatever reasons that they're there. And so you have a conversation, you want to know their history, what's happening with them, why they've ended up where they are, and why can't they get out from the
Yeah,
situation.
because there's a very human story behind all these people, there's one particular thought I've always had since I was a child, is that every person who's homeless that you see in the street, that was someone's baby once, that's a very valuable thought I've always held passionate to me. And when you see people in a very destitute situation where there might be a mixture of things such as mental health, substance abuse, violence, or whatever it is that's putting them in that position economically or whatever, that's a real person there, and people walk past them every single day.
And that, I think that's part of the problem as well. They're kind of just there, and people do walk past them. They don't even see them anymore. I mean, I find that incredible, like just horrible, really. But yes, as you said, it's someone's child, but it's also someone's parent, it's someone's dad, someone's mum. I mean, the age range is just diverse on the street. There was a, I think one of the ladies in the single Karen, she mentioned that there was a lady who was probably over 60 who was on the streets. Natalie, who's part of the song, she was 57 this year, so she's, homeless. So it's just, it hits everybody. There are families who are homeless who've got children as well. So it's, and the reasons for people to be homeless is just so completely, utterly different. Most people have this preconceptive idea that they're there because, they failed life in some way, and really, it isn't really just about that. There's so many more circumstances and situations that have happened to them, and really, we are such a fine line to being homeless. If you think about it, if you miss a few pay packets, you lose somebody in your family, you're in an abusive situation at home. It really does, mental health issues. There's just endless amounts of reasons why people are homeless.
That's right, very much indeed. I was reading a study a little while ago about, how we literally are one pay packet away from being homeless. And I think that really ties into what you just said there. Can we afford the rent if we don't get paid? And then what happens? A lot of people don't have any savings anymore, or they're saving their money of their wages or whatever they get literally only just covers their way to live on a monthly basis. And should something happen, there's no backup, there's no catch, for what that's going to be next.
Exactly. So the whole idea of really starting this wasn't really an idea to actually start a song or anything. The idea was just to find out what they were doing and to some stories from just individuals. So it wasn't anything. It started being documented, like I photographed a few of the guys. Because, embarrassingly, there's a couple guys that dress very similar, and they were always in similar places, but so I could kind of remember their names, but then they kind of moved, and I know it sounds awful, doesn't it? And I was horrified at myself. I actually said, "Look, do you mind if I take a photograph of you and just put your name, just so I remember your name?" And I never forgot, whenever I saw them again. So it started off documenting. Then it ended up with just speaking to Natalie, and she's the first person in the lyrics of the song, and for the reason that she is the person that I spoke to, that I thought, wow, this story, this would make, lyrics to a song. We could, something could be done to help, basically.
All right,
So she
I understand.
remains the first person in the single.
Okay, so it is because I was wondering. Obviously, you've got 38 people obviously on board as musicians for your song. So I was confused. Is it actually is it a number of tracks? Is it a single track? How does it work?
No, so it's a compilation of different stories. What I wanted is to humanize, to create awareness about the homeless here. So obviously, Leif framework, like a house, even shelter, to doing what they do best. They're the experts in the area. Really, it was just to raise awareness, to get the community involved, and to create some passion for them, really. So the songs are based on, I believe there's 6 homeless stories. It's interleaved with some spoken word, which has been delivered beautifully by Motor Mouth or Alex Young. And those are more statistical information on specifically Nottingham or East Midlands homeless. So I've collected like a census of, like, over the last 12 years or so, and just created some of this information. I brought in, and there's a positive kind of bridge as well. Josh Camp delivers that, and then we've got a final kind of wrap and some harmonies by these, I call them the bells, basically, of the single. So I've got so many group chats going on just for the different sections, because obviously with some, like for example, Frank is one of the homeless guys who unfortunately passed away last year, that I knew as well. So I wanted many voices to create Frank the sound. So there's normally one person per homeless story. It all starts with my name is Natalie Shaw, my name is Matty Martin, etc.
I suppose that gives it a really personal quality, doesn't it? You know, this is a story of some genuine feeling of an individual actually who has a story to tell. That's really interesting.
Because anyone can be a Matty. You don't have to be. And I didn't want it to be gender biased. So there's men singing women, women singing men. It's not really about that. It's apart from Frank, I specifically wanted male and female vocals to create Frank. And it's just because, you know, the whole symbolic idea of death comes to us all. So I wanted him to be represented by more than just one voice. But everybody else really is one singer.
Okay, I understand that. So, I mean, do you have an interest? Have you had like a history in performing arts yourself? Are you singing on the track too?
So I would love to sing in the track, but I don't actually.
You're just the organizer this time around.
It's like the first single I'm actually launching in my singer-songwriting career, and I'm not even on it. So I just thought for this, there's 2 reasons really. The first one is to sort of take a back seat and allow some of Nottingham's finest musicians to kind of step in. So give them a voice, give them that space, and be respectful at that as well, because there's some phenomenal musicians that may not be singing a verse, but might be singing group or the chorus part. So I wanted to do that, but also I needed to kind of organize all this, and being in it was just...
So you need just to command the presence, and you know, I think you put down like you wanted to make sure you organise the cats.
Yes, exactly. Also, it's difficult, isn't it? Because when you're kind of managing or producing or directing, you're a bit sure of what you're doing. And I think involved helps kind of do that.
Yeah, because it kind of keeps the vision on point, doesn't it? You know, this is what I want to deliver. I want to make sure that everyone plays their part in that. But if I'm doing that as well, you know, I lose a bit of my focus in regards to that area. So yeah, I can understand exactly why you'd want to be the person overseeing as opposed to being involved with. So tell me a bit about the musical variety. I mean, you mentioned earlier there's a bit of rap, there's a bit of vocal. Is it all the pieces to music? Cause I think you did say there is some that's just spoken word.
Yes. So there's spoken word, rap. And then the rest is really sung, but there is a group singing where everybody sings together, the chorus, the main chorus, which also happens to be the title of the song, of course, so that's the hook. But really behind the singers, I mean, there's a massive variety of singers as well.
Yeah, 38, but, I think it says on your blog, 38 singers are involved.
Yeah, there's like teams.
Wow.
It's going to be interesting going on and off with the day. All of these guys going, ooh, quick part, let's go. Sort of instrumentals as well. So we've got bass, guitar, and we also have twice.
Wow, excellent.
Not sure what that sound was then, but...
No, I think it was singing in the background, wasn't it, I guess? But hey, so I mean, when did the number grow to so many, or were you always intending to have a large variety of voices involved?
I wanted all of Nottingham's musicians, every single one of them. Ideally, I would have had everybody. And that's to sing the group chorus at the end, at least. In terms of verses, they were always limited. So those were always set. There were set ideas on, you know, certain voices and certain sounds for it as well. So Josh Kemp, yes, I always wanted Stevie Lee and Daniel Wright from The Most Ugly Child. I always wanted them to sing James and Caroline, so that's the verse with two people in it. So there's like certain voices that I thought worked very well. They were
hunted, so to speak. You went after them, you had it right, you're doing the song. I want you to do the song.
Yeah, even Adam Peter Smith, and Alex Milnes. Unfortunately the Lord. But they're involved in the group singing as well, which is phenomenal. I'm really pleased to say that. So
how much time is taken to arrange all this?
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
Dropping it on the floor here.
So I think really from sort of January, I started slowly getting the ball rolling. End of January, we had our first kind of meetup sort of February, and then we had a series of rehearsals, mainly with the main band. I call the main band sort of drum, bass and guitar, so they have always been involved as well from the start. And then really it was getting the strings involved, which Rob Rosa, actually, I don't know if you know him, but he plays in Manieres de la Bohemian. So it's a gypsy jazz band, but he's phenomenal. And he composed, in fact, all the string and the flute part for this.
Oh, excellent. Okay. It's really good when you get a guy who's got that passion, who knows where to come from with that kind of, this is a sound I would really like to share. You know, when you got a guy who's talented to do that, you know, it sounds phenomenal.
Yeah, he is incredible, actually, very talented and really lovely to have done all this. He managed to enlist some of the musicians that he knew as well. So, and we have a whole bunch of people, really, everybody is very passionate about the project. I'm really lucky, actually, that everybody is just so, has all this goodwill towards it. You know, we're doing it for free, so it's quite a big task because it was a lot. Blood and sweat to get it recorded.
I bet. I clicked on your Facebook profile earlier, and I saw the fact that when you had the masterful recording done, or the final, you were crying. It's like, wow.
That was so emotional. It had been mixed already, so it was like a final tweak. You know, I asked for a few tweaks, and these guys just delivered it. Mark Rice and Tom Smith. Tom Smith from Paper Stone Studio let us record there for free. So it's just been, but yeah, that was the moment when I got the mix and it was just, so. Yeah, it was really emotional.
Hard mess. Because Nottingham really does have such a rich source of fantastic talent, I guess. We not only have we're a very creative city here, there's lots of different music outlets and venues going on. We've also have like the two universities, lots of students going through the professional side of the things. So there really is quite a melting pot of music and creativity in the city. I mean, have you found that there was more people who wanted to be involved as the project went on?
Yes, it was more interesting because I think initially, like, there's quite a lot of people in the group. There's like over 100 people in the group. But I think where there's only so many guitarists that were going to be in this, and only so many drums. So it's quite difficult to kind of narrow it all down. Drummers want to drum; they don't want to sing group parts. So I wanted group vocals. I wanted everyone. It didn't matter if you could sing, like sing parts. So that really was where I wanted everyone to join in. But I think people are very busy, people have lives, and it's free, it's a lot of time. I was asking for, you know, like four or five rehearsals or something, or four rehearsals, just in March. So it was like quite a lot of commitment I was asking for, really. So I think where people have joined in and have wanted to join in, they've been welcome. I've had to limit it to sort of band musicians or musicians who have played in a band before.
Right, okay.
At least, just because if I had, there were some choir singers as well, and they are phenomenal singers. Once I started opening it out, it was just going to be, I thought it was going to be just very difficult. If I survive this project, there might be an next.
So the one thing I guess kind of made me go, oh, what's this about? Actually, it was the artwork. I saw the picture, I guess, Amy's wall. I think on my wall, but obviously Amy had shared it out. And I saw it and I thought, it's a really interesting piece of artwork. You got that of the hands bound together, and obviously one's black and one's white, and there's the clef that's on the back. But it has a very tribal look to it. I mean, was that intentional? Was that part of the plan?
Well, the idea, the hands clasped together, the homeless person below, the dog, all of that was already something I really wanted. What I asked the illustrator, who's Liam Shepherd, basically, to do was to put several hands inside a hand.
Yeah, so I saw that in the hands all the way up there. That was really good.
I wanted the plectrum, I wanted it to say, you know, knotting into the same music and to say, joining forces to kind of. So that, but generally, the style was really style.
Yeah, like I said, it has like a really tribal look to it. It's very, very modern, kind of audience draw. So, you know, congratulations to the audience, to the illustrator there, because he certainly nailed it with regards to the message he was trying to put out based on the message that you had told him. But so in regards to Emmanuel House and Framework, what's their involvement been? Have they been part of the process? Have they been looking about what you're doing? Because of course you're obviously talking about them. I mean, have they had much input at all?
Yes and no. As in so much as, like, from the beginning, I went to see both charities to discuss, like, face to face what I was producing, what we were going to do. So really, from the start, they have been on board, and I've got my contacts from each place, and they've been brilliant. So it was more that, and then of course on the open day, which was like the first day that everybody could come along and just, I don't know, listen to what this was about, listen to the demo. So I had a group of musicians help me produce the demo as well, so I could just send it off to other people to get them involved. And so I think it was Dennis Tully who could make it. It was on a Saturday, so it's a bit tricky. But he's even around the corner from Scene Studios, and they've kind of led us to space. But he turned up and he sort of gave a little talk. And really from then on, I just had a lot of support. In fact, Framework for that day, they gave me like teas and coffees for the open day. I know, how sweet. They put a little box outside. I was like, okay, collect it. I was like, thank you.
Oh, wow.
So it's just been like, in terms of support, you know, even if I've gone quiet, they'll kind of message you, hey, not heard from you, how's it going, do you need anything from us? Just been absolutely beautiful, both of them.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've been involved with Framework separately, trying to organize a documentary. I can be working independently, much like yourself. My plan is to produce a demo. We can go to them and say, actually, could you support this as well? From mine, what I was going to do is that, you know, when I was younger, very, very young, I was homeless, you know, and I've now got down the opposite way around. Quite successful. So I'm trying to share people's messages about what it's like to be homeless and just give some positivity that thinks there is a light at the other end of the tunnel. So my plan really is to obviously get some statements from the people who are obviously out and about who live the homeless life. It's a very curious thing is that you talk to other homeless people. There's a strange mix of people. Some are quite eccentric. Some are they love the lifestyle, which is it's a strange thing to comprehend. Because when you think that people want to get out of the situation, some actually are like, you know, I want to live off the grid. I'm happy as I am. I don't want to pay the council tax, as it were. You know, I'm quite happy living this lifestyle. And that to me was just a bit like, really? What? I never thought I would ever hear that, but there are some that do that.
Okay. I've not found one in Nottingham yet, but I have heard a few interviews before. I've seen the BBC had a few interviews, and they were really interesting, different diverse backgrounds as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, sometimes I feel like doing that every day, just live off the grid.
That's checking out society, go live in a treehouse somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh man, I guess for a lot of reasons, there's a lot of complex issues that put people in that situation. Again, it could be financial, could be like mental health, could be substance abuse, and so on. I mean, have you had much collaboration actually out on the streets? Have you got some pictures and photos that you're going to include, like in a CD cover, as it were? Or
I have actually slightly interviewed James, who's one of the guys in the song, but I feel that's just going to be a little clip, basically, that I'll post up at some point.
Okay, I understand,
but,
yeah.
In terms of footage, this is where Imani Hassan from America collaborated immensely. So they sent us a lot of footage to include, because we're creating, we've got a little taster video coming out soon.
All right,
and we have the making of kind of video, and that's all the way from like demo through recording all the way to the end. So, that's going to be in three parts. I think it'll just be a couple of minutes long. But we'll have some footage that Emmanuel has and Framework have given to us as well. And they obviously, well, you asked me before, sorry, I completely forgot as well. You asked if they've had any involvement. It's more in terms of like using their information, using their logo. I've always, even before the cover was produced, I sent it to both Framework and Emmanuel House to approve, to make sure that was all okay, so we could use it, because we're using the logos, obviously,
yeah,
as well. So it was just checking, really, that everything was, as that they were happy with that. But like I said, they've been super supportive, so we've got loads of footage from them.
Oh, excellent stuff. So the event, so the 22nd of June is going to be the launch date of the music, and also the launch night at the bodega. So how's the countdown going, and what's the preparations of what you guys have got going on at the moment?
So this is where you kind of realize you've taken on way too many jobs all at once. So I am literally printing CDs, I've created the CD cover, I've created I'm going to create some posters tonight, I'm enlisting people to man the desks there so that we've got someone to kind of sell the merch and the CDs. We've got Emmanuel House and Framework going to be there as well. So we'll have some of their banners up, and they'll also have share the table for the merch desk. We'll probably have a little talk. So it's support acts as well, trying to organize that. I am creating little fairy lights for the place out of copious amounts of tin cans that I've drunk out of, most cider, if I'm honest. So they'll all be up as well with little fairy lights. But the idea was to, and hopefully some fairy lights boxes that I bought CDs from, boxes that I've got envelopes from, all that stuff to do with the point, basically. Kind of recycling everything.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. So, I guess, is it too early to say you've got an expectation of how many you're looking to sell?
It is, I think. Last I checked, there were 93 people either going or interested at the event. So, but I think in terms of actually buying tickets, that's where the crux is. Most people leave it to the last minute.
Of course, yeah.
Because it's free. We're providing this ticket information because there's a capacity limit at the bodega, but it's free with optional donation as well. So if anybody wants to donate, they are more than welcome.
I understand. Yeah. And that's it. So if someone was trying to get hold of this information, wants to know more about it, what's the best way for them to do so?
In terms of the single, there is an events page. That's probably the best place to go, really. So if they check us out on Facebook, it is called Back on My Feet Launch. So by all means, find us. You can't miss it. Great big brown banner, basically, with the hand you've described. So and join it. And obviously, the Framework and Emmanuel House, have a look at their websites and see what they do.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So. Wow, it's been quite a journey so far. So, where do we go from here? What's next, I guess, for you?
I know.
Is there any other projects that you've got, you know, down the line that is in mind going, you know what, this is what we've done this time, we've produced something great. Would you go, as in like to the team, to the musicians, is there a plan to do something next? Is that already in fruition?
Nope.
Or are you going to have a bit of a, I need to have some R&R, that was a lot of hours.
Belly needs a holiday after this, and then we can discuss more. Yeah, it's still ongoing. I'm still trying to get us to that finish line with the marketing and everything else. But, you know, the separate bank account has been set up.
Okay.
Just for this project, because obviously all royalties and every penny made will go to Framework and Emmanuel House 50-50. So I've already got my separate bank account all set up. I've even put in like some of the donation money in there, and that's already paid TuneCore for the song to go up. So that's wonderful. But yeah, so it's just really, at the moment, it's just getting this sorted. And once it's sorted, I'm obviously going to be manning the account monthly, manning. Okay. So
this is now really
at least for years, but it's something that I'm not really going to see end anytime soon.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, you do see a lot of these projects that come along. It's like they put out their CD and then they kind of just like leave it alone. And do its thing. So is there a plan like beyond the launch event to continue its sales? Is there a plan then to go to say like iTunes or digital outlets or even physical outlets, some shops and so on? What's the plan then beyond the launch night?
I don't know. I mean, I don't even know how long this will be up for. I mean, I've been speaking to the videographer who's like just been helping me through a lot of all the, like, getting all, piecing everything together. And he's saying, well, how long is this going to be up for? I was like, well, hopefully a year, but, you know. He's like, that's it! I was like, yeah, would you like to take over, you know, account management? That's fine by me, go for it. So most people like to, you know, it's going through that, I guess it's managing this project for the next year, if not beyond. So I don't know how well it's going to do. We have no idea. We have hope that, if anything, it raises awareness, if not a lot of cash. That was the main thing. If even a few people change their mind, that's great. But really, after that, for this particular project, I don't know. I mean, we're not really selling any physical copies. The idea was just to have a few for the launch, but then the rest is all digital. So it'll be iTunes, Amazon, and Bandcamp. Bandcamp will be your 99p, same as iTunes, but Apple, you don't extra if you want. So be pushing that one a little bit more in the hopes of raising more money for these guys. But yeah, after that, I haven't really discuss anything. I think everybody needs a holiday in this, to be honest.
I tell you what, you're talking of holiday, you know, my brain and my body is feeling that wear now. You know, we're in June and I haven't been on a holiday this year, and I need that time away just to, you know, recharge the batteries, as it were. I bet you're feeling exactly the same way after this huge project that you've obviously undertaken, and I bet it's been an incredible journey. That it's a life experience, isn't it? You know, you can actually say, I organized, I sorted, you know, we got all this collaboration going on, and then it's done. Wow. And you could put that nice big proud bookmark next to that and say, okay, done.
Yeah, I think it is absolutely right. It's proud that so many people really got helped in whatever way they can, and done all this for free with goodwill, hoping that this will be a success to help people that were trying to help. So, I think it is pride. I'm so proud of everyone. I'm just beaming.
That's good. That's a good feeling to have. You know, it uplifts your spirit, uplifts your body, you know, and it gives you some clarity. And I did something, as opposed to going, well, I'll walk past that person, and, you know, and then you continue on. And perhaps that fleeting moment when you're thinking, I should give that guy some money, I should give that guy a sandwich or whatever. No, you've actually gone, you know what, I'm not even going to stop. I'm going to think about that person, and then I'm going to enact something I can actually do for that person, and obviously the companies that are involved in helping these people obviously get a step up in life.
Yes.
I think.
Yeah. And like I said, the other side is to raise awareness, and there's another level, which is, you know, promote some of the guys here as well. It's all kind of a promotion, you know, everybody's kind of like helping in one way or another, whether it's promoting the artists promote the track, and the track promotes, you know, homelessness and the issues involved. So it's just everything together, but really just for Nottingham to just be kind to their homeless. You know, they're so mistreated.
Very much so, very much so.
The main issue.
Yeah.
For now, please.
For now, we can certainly hope that. And I'm aware that now Framework is expanding beyond Nottinghamshire. So I think they head towards Yorkshire and Lincolnshire now. So I guess maybe their management plan, their what they do, obviously in terms of the government funding and their involvement with the councils and stuff. Obviously, that's maybe a good success. I was looking at the statistics earlier before I came on to talk to you, and it appears that certainly in the East Midlands, the level of homelessness actually has plateaued out. Although, and actually, there was a period from 2013 to 2017 where I saw a massive spike uprise of like 44%. But actually, in the last year or so, actually, it's really kind of leveled out a bit, which is actually good to see. That means that there must be the support on the ground. There's the support with the people who are out there that actually is making a difference. And it's companies like Emmanuel House, it's companies like Framework who are making that difference on the ground for these people.
Yes, indeed. And a massive difference from everything I've heard as well. But yes, you're right, Framework is the East Midlands. Emmanuel House is just specific for Nottingham.
It is, yeah.
So I really wanted both these two charities in particular involved. I mean, Framework have been involved with Beat Streets, with DHP as well recently. But I thought both of them in terms of tackling homelessness in Nottingham would be great, really, for the single.
You know what, so I guess in terms of our interview today, I think that leaves us a really great conclusion there, really. So if there's, you want to give another shout out for what all the different places they can get in contact with yourself, perhaps the other artists, and where people can go for your social media and obviously your CDs and so on. Could you want to make that out and make that a big shout out?
So the 22nd of June, we have Back on My Feet, which is a single that has been completely 100% created free from all of these wonderful musicians here in Nottingham. So it's a Nottingham musical community, and we are trying to help our homeless. So do buy the track. 22nd of June, we have a launch at the Bodega, and that starts at 6:30 in the evening upstairs till 10 o'clock at night. But it's also launched on iTunes, on Amazon, and particularly Bandcamp. If you can buy from there and give as much money as you can, and we really appreciate it.
Okay, that's fantastic. Thank you very much for a wonderful conversation, and I look forward to wishing you every success. I look forward to coming by on launch night and seeing how it all goes on such a good night. So
meet you in person finally.
That sounds great. Thank you very much. It's been an excellent conversation. Have a good night.
Take care, you too.
If you enjoyed this conversation today, please hit up a like, please hit a subscribe. I really do appreciate it. It lets me know that I'm producing the kind of content that you want to listen to and that you want to watch. Until next we meet, when we continue exploring the curious.